Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Play 92.9 ESPN. Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing.
I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interviews.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I'm not going to get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN.
Gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker. So let me first apologize to the shirts and the ties for your makeup. Cause I make you ugly as soon as it drops. We're on a rampage, bubbles popping up before you know it. There's rubble in the cause we'll be crushing it up. Somebody say you gentlemen, what you're about to witness is no illusion. And now we got the bass banging from head to Buckingham Palace.
They're on everybody, happy Thursday. Today on the radio show, we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock, and then it is Thursday. Thursdays seem to come around pretty much every week, Jeffrey. And that means we play Righter Than Right trivia.
We do indeed, Jeff.
What's your level of preparation? Confidence.
You know what, Jeff? We've put in the prep. We've done our work. We got to see how the chips will fall.
That's always the case.
Mm-hmm. We're focused on the process.
The last week, I don't know if you saw this. Last week, and sometimes, you know, I don't want to take credit for all your wins,
mm-hmm.
but sometimes I bring up a story that then. Kevin.
Yes. Or Charles does.
Uses in his trivia. Like, for example, last week you were asked a question about...
The pig heart. Or the pig liver. Or kidney.
About a guy who was transplanted into him a pig kidney. And the question was, what was it? You got it from a pig. What was it, right? I think it was...
It was what organ?
Was it the organ or was it the animal?
It was the organ.
Well, it was the organ. And you knew it instantly because...
Well,
we
that's
discussed.
Not true. I was like, is it kidney? Is it liver?
But you got it right.
Yeah.
As it happens, there is actually news on that dude in the New York Times today. There's news that he's feeling good enough that he went home. In fact, I hear on good report that he went wee all the way home. he did go home. Come here for all your dad jokes as well as Right and Then Right
it's
trivia.
It's like the Geico commercial where the pig in the car.
That's true, too. What's our prize today?
Jeff, we have a triple prize today.
A triple prize today.
Fabulous prize. Yeah. So we will have tickets to the club seats, beg your pardon, to the 901 Wrestling Show that I'm doing in chronological order. That is this Saturday night. That is courtesy of Kevin Cerrito. You'll also win 4 tickets to the World Championship Hot Wing Contest and Festival in Memphis on April the 20th at River Garden Park. And then also, just announced, you can win them before you can buy them, 4 tickets to see the Smashing Pumpkins at Bank Plus Amphitheater September the 10th. Tickets will go on sale tomorrow.
Well, there you go. All that in the second hour. By the way, I have my Grizzlies Grizzlies PR release stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, their
the promo
sales, their promo, and they're reminding people: do not miss your chance to celebrate Marc Gasol on Saturday, April 6th at 7 p.m. when your Grizzlies host the Philadelphia 76ers for Marc Gasol jersey retirement night, presented by FedEx. Fans will want to arrive early and stay late, as the first 5,000 fans will receive a commemorative vinyl record. I have one right here in my hands. And the jersey retirement ceremony will take place post-game. To purchase your tickets, visit grizzlies.com today. So there you go. I do hope that, and I expect that there will be a pretty good crowd. Don't you think there are those folks who, like, I just want to be there to soak in that moment. And we've been reminiscing all week.
Yours truly.
Including yours truly. You haven't bought tickets.
Yes.
We've been reminiscing all week about the Core Four. And here is a chance to honor Mark. And so I'm really looking forward to it. I think it'll be spectacular. Grizzlies always do a splendid job with that. Speaking of Grizzlies doing a splendid job, they also did a splendid job last night going to Milwaukee. This team is really good on the road.
Mm-hmm.
And beat the Bucks again, 111-101. No Dame, no Chris Middleton, but let's be honest. It's not like Grizzlies are going to feel bad for another team missing. Before I decided to go ahead and play the highlights, like we always used to play the highlights after, back when there were wins,
mm-hmm.
we used to play the highlights
regularly,
after the wins very regularly.
Let's be clear. Back when we were all watching the games,
back
locked
when
in.
Everyone was locked in and every game meant something and you were jostling for something and whatever else, we would routinely play highlights. Now, I was contemplating whether to play highlights today because I didn't want to, I hate to say this, as great as that was, and we'll get into the particulars in a moment, I didn't want to celebrate a victory if it was going to really cost him in the standings,
mm-hmm.
right? Particularly a road victory, even over the Bucks. But consulting the standings, Jeffrey, with six games left.
It is what it'll be.
It appears that it is. I mean, I suppose you can imagine, but they are three wins. They have three more wins than Toronto.
Yes.
Toronto's six from the bottom. Grizzlies seventh from the bottom. And they have three fewer wins than Utah,
mm-hmm.
which is the next team up. It appears they are where they are. And so we can, with full open heart, with all enthusiasm, without reservation, we can celebrate what happened last night, and we can even play highlights. Let's do it.
DJ Khaled.
All I do is, now, what you won't hear, by the way, because we don't play Bucks highlights, what you won't hear is any of their 18 threes. But they had 18 threes. The Grizzlies still won 111-101. Here's Gigi.
Ravy out to the right side on the wing for Gigi Jackson. Drives in lane, gets by his defender, and jams with two hands. Oh, my. Gigi Jackson looked like he was going to go for a left-handed layup and elevated to the top and jams it home with two hands. All five starters for the Grizzlies now on the board.
Double-double, by the way, for Gigi. 15 points, 12 rebounds. There continue to be. Listen, it wasn't all. We know that. We know that Jaren was the star of the show. We will get to him in a moment. But Lamar Stevens continues to play with pluck. Would you say he plays with pluck?
Absolutely,
he plays with pluck. Here's Lamar Stevens.
Loose ball picked up by Goodwin. Comes up under the basket again. Going to kick it back out for Stevens. Open left wing three on the way. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Nice drive and kick by Jordan Goodwin. Lamar Stevens gets his first two. And the Grizzlies lead by five, 24-19. They trailed 10-4 early. A 20-9 run for the Grizz.
And by the way, when I say pluck, I mean in 24 points, in 24 minutes, 9 points, and once again, 9 rebounds. 9 rebounds. Here's more Gigi.
Gives it top of the arc for Scottie Pippen. Lopez comes out. Bucks switch to a man-to-man. Gigi Jackson, deep right wing three. Ring it up. Put three on the board. Connaughton was late getting out there. And Gigi Jackson in double figures now with 10. Couple of threes here in the quarter. 8 second quarter points for the rookie out of South Carolina.
hugely inefficient 6 of 12, you know? I will say, Jaren was tremendous, and the step back three was unbelievable. I continue to believe the best news of this past week has been Brandon Clark.
Absolutely.
I mean, I had expectation that he would come back and look like sort of a rusty, maybe slightly less springy Brandon Clark. He looks like Brandon Clark. Here he is.
3 seconds, 2 seconds. Jackson walks right into a right wing three. It's no good. Offensive rebound to Clark. He lays it up and in, and he'll get the final two of the half. Jackson's three was short. The ball shot right into the hands of Brandon Clark. He lays it home. Grizzlies lead by four in Milwaukee at the halftime break.
14 points, 7 rebounds, a tidy 7 of 10 from the field. That is the third straight game where, I've missed a year because my Achilles was blown, where Brandon Clark comes back and scores double digits and better than 55% shooting. So, good for him. As I mentioned, the star of the show was Jaren. Let's give him a couple of Jaren highlights.
Drops it off for the trailer. Jaren Jackson was picked up by Portis, now picked up by Lopez on a switch. Jackson lobs over the top. Clark avoids Portis. He gets the bucket, and he gets fouled. Portis swiping at it. It looked like he caught the bridge of the nose of Brandon Clark, who finished the play. And Brandon Clark in double figures now with 10. Jaren Jackson, top of the arc, goes to the left side, at the elbow left, spins in the paint, floats it with a right hand, and gets another one. Jaren Jackson Jr. is cooking. 23 for the big man as he claps his hand and says, let's go. Antetokounmpo from behind, LaRavia catches him and pokes it free. Goodwin gets the lead out, goes to the bucket, drops for Jackson, two-hand jam. Jaren was standing there with his arms extended. Goodwin started to attack the rim and drew the defender, drops it off, and Jaren Jackson Jr. has his 30-point night.
Ended up with 35. That was a steal, by the way, set up by Jake LaRavia, who looks credible.
Yeah. The goggles are back.
Another nice little, not nearly as significant as the Brandon Clark development, but another nice little development. They mentioned Goodwin. Here he is with an and one.
Goodwin, high right post, running right hand floater, no good. Stevens, the offensive rebound tip on his miss by Goodwin is good. He gets fouled, and Jordan Goodwin continues to play bigger than his size. Goodwin with another double-figure rebounding game, taps that one home.
Also plucky, 13 points, 12 rebounds. You got Gigi next?
Yes, so Gigi with his and one.
We're trailing. Gigi Jackson catches, goes to Lopez, draws contact, banks it up and in, and he'll get one more. What a play by the rookie, a great feed by Jaren Jackson, and Gigi Jackson finishing through contact has a chance to put the Grizzlies up 7.
That's 4 assists, by the way, for Jaren, in addition to his 35 points. Had 4 assists and the dagger. Here it is.
5 on the shot clock. Jaren Jackson, right sideline. Step back, right corner, 3. Stop it, big fella. You got to be kidding me. And off balance. Corner right, 3. Ring it up. Put 3 on the board. Jaren Jackson with 35 after 40 on Monday, 35 tonight. And that may put the lights out on the Bucks here in Milwaukee.
Grizz win, Grizz win, Grizz win. And you might as well enjoy it because it feels like they are where they are. In terms of the lottery, and certainly, I mean, the Jaren stuff's a lot of fun. The Brandon Clark stuff is to me a revelation, like really reassuring. We talked about what mattered heading into next year, right? Like, what did it matter to you to see Desmond Bane come back? Did it matter to you to see Marcus Smart come back? Did it matter to you to see what mattered? What was always at the top of our list was we'd like to see Brandon Clark back for the sake of Brandon. And his confidence as a springboard into the offseason and then into next year. And honestly, for the sake of the fans.
Yep.
Because, like, we've been, you know, we were traumatized.
It's been a tough season for us, too.
We were traumatized by the Steven Adams thing, right? Let's see him back and healthy and see what that might look like. And I don't know how you can be anything other than reassured by what you've seen from Brandon Clark. So, a lot of fun last night as the Grizzlies win. Gabe was asking, and I sort of, we were talking yesterday with Chris Harrington about the core four Grizzlies and whether they got everything out of that there was to get out of their talent. And fundamentally, you can quibble. You could think that maybe one year they could have done a there was more to get, whatever. But fundamentally, that team wrung every bit of success out of the talent that was there to ring, it seems to me. So then Gabe asked, and we talked about this a little bit with Chris Harrington yesterday, what's the expectation for this team over the next 5 years? Right? What is the expectation that this team will equal what the core four did, will exceed what the core four did, will get to a conference finals, will get to a conference finals and win a game? That would count as exceeding what they did, right? And it was interesting because when we talked to Chris about this yesterday, he said, listen, getting to the Western Conference Finals is hard. So he'd bet against it. He thinks there's – so to call that an expectation, at least in Chris's viewpoint, is ambitious. It's not an expectation. It's more of a goal than an expectation. Do you expect it? Which is it for you? To me, it's a little bit like the Memphis Tigers getting to a Sweet 16. It's hard to get to a Sweet 16, right? It's hard to get. So I don't know that unless you're just overwhelmingly talented, you could have expected it. It's not unlike last year. Honestly, heading into last year for the Memphis Tigers, the Sweet 16 wasn't. I would have bet against it.
Sure.
So in that way, it was an expectation. But in terms of, yeah, that's a reasonable thing. That's what success would look like. That's what I would have set. And for this team, I think success looks like at least getting to a Western Conference Finals over the next 5 years. But does that mean I expect it? Is it an expectation? No, I think it's more of a goal. It's just like if you're a salesperson, you have a sales goal, right? And if you meet the sales goal, maybe it's a little higher than you've ever sold before. That's my goal. And that's what success would look like. And if I fall short of that, I'll be disappointed. But is it my expectation? I don't know. Do you expect the Grizzlies to go to Western Conference Final in the next 5 years? Would you bet yes or no? You'd bet yes?
I think I would bet no, but it's close.
It's very close.
Like, to me, one of the key aspects of, okay, you realize, like, with the Grizzlies making the Western Conference Finals run, like, a key part of that is Westbrook getting hurt. One of the teams that was considered the favorite.
One of the reasons they got where they got that year was because, now, you could also argue that one of the reasons that other years they didn't go further was because Z-Bo was hurt, or because Z-Bo was suspended, or because Tony Allen was hurt, or because Mike Conley's face got broken, whatever else. But the year they got to the finals, yes, you have to be, you got to be in the arena. You got to be a very good team to begin with. And then you've got to have a healthy year. Breaks have to go your way. Maybe you get to play a team that isn't healthy. But in the meanwhile, you're jostling and competing with Oklahoma City that I think, if we're being fair, is ahead of you, right? Oklahoma City that is ahead of you.
I still want to see the playoffs this year.
You're clearly, in the next 5 years, I mean, I don't know when Denver's going to stop being good.
No, the one I have for sure ahead of you is Denver.
Denver and Oklahoma City.
Well, but the Oklahoma City, though, like, I'm willing to accept that that's reality. I still want to see this in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh, no. That's fine. That's fine. I agree with that. But I do think I'll put them ahead of this team for now. And then, like, if I was talking about the next 5 years, who knows what San Antonio? Maybe within 2 years, San Antonio will be a monster that's eating the Western Conference, right? And then, sure, the Lakers are old, Golden State's old, the Clippers are old, and so you can say maybe they're done, except for the fact that those teams get to reload just by saying, we're in L.A., or we're in Golden, you know, whatever, come. And so they get to reload, and who knows? Who knows what's going to happen with the Pelicans? Mm-hmm. Who knows what's going to happen with the Timberwolves? I don't think... I will be disappointed if they don't at least get to a Western Conference Finals. I don't think it's a failure, though. It will be disappointing to me.
Yeah.
I think it's clearly... I'm not asking them even... Yeah, go to the finals. That would be great. Win a title. That would be great. Because as I say, their goal is to win a title. That should be the goal. I'll put it this way. I offered you things at the beginning of the season. I offered you a record. I'm going to offer you, in the next 5 years, one Western Conference Finals, including victories, one competitive Western Conference Finals, but only one, and they will not win it. Would you take it?
Yeah, I think I'd sign up for that. Because that's a lot of meaningful basketball over the next 5 years.
But I think you're sacrificing possibility.
Yeah, but again, like,
but not likely. You're not sacrificing.
I mean,
something
I don't.
Likely.
I do not think that it is likely that in the next 5 years the Grizzlies are projected to win the West.
No, Las Vegas would very clearly tell you no.
So right? Because of that, to me, that is maximizing what you would have.
It is funny though. Like, I feel better about it watching Brandon Clark. I just do. You know,
oh, for sure. There's no question that that has been the most encouraging thing of this
of this recent
yeah.
of this recent. Well, yeah, I mean, Vince Williams and GG have been very encouraging, but certainly of recent vintage, that is the most encouraging recent development. All the talk ever since the news broke of the Stephon Diggs deal yesterday, everywhere, has been about that trade, including this morning. On Unsportsmanlike, the show that precedes ours. Do you have further reflections on it, Jeffrey?
No, I'm more convinced, like, in the end, when I think about the Bills season last year, it largely got going when they stopped force-feeding Diggs and they started just running more of their offense. And the biggest problem that I see with Diggs right now is you got number one receiver diva mentality. And he's not a number one.
Well, there are two things that you hear. One of the reactions is, my God, look out for Houston in the AFC, right? That's one of the things you hear. And I think that's appropriate. It is remarkable how that franchise has turned around in 2 or 3 years.
It's almost like a quarterback means everything.
It was a total mess. But they got rid of the, remember, no one, the GM,
sure.
All that stuff. But yes. They obviously, the C.J. Stroud thing was key to all of it, right?
And getting the coach.
But then getting the right coach, getting the right quarterback, and then getting Will Anderson, like making smart deals. And now you've got a quarterback who has already arrived, one of the best rookie quarterbacks we've ever seen. And so it feels like you don't have to wait until year three. Like the window of when he can still be on his rookie contract and yet be good enough. Like, most rookies aren't good enough to take you to the Super Bowl. So it's fine and well to say, while he's still on the rookie contract, you're already sacrificing year one, typically. Although, he was damn good in year one. So now, it feels like he is absolutely ready to win, and they are loading up. They're just loading up. And so you're adding Stephon Diggs, and you've already got Nico Collins really as your number one there, and then you got Tank as your, another guy. You added Joe Mixon. The defense is, you had Daniel Hunter over the, like, you. They went shopping.
Yep.
They were already good. They went shopping. And I do think he makes them better. Like, whatever, is Stephon Diggs diminished? He didn't have a 100-yard game after week six. Now, why? Is it because they de-emphasized him? Is it because he was pouting and took himself out of games, as has been suggested by some? Is it, like, he was clearly diminished. But will he be re-engaged? The truth of the matter is, for the first 2 years in Buffalo, he was unbelievable.
Yes.
Like, there was all of this, yeah, he may have been pouty in Minnesota, but he's been great here, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I fully expect, it's a little trickier, because when he went to Buffalo, he did go in as the clear number one, and so he was getting everything he wanted, and the Bills were getting everything they wanted, and everybody was happy. Goes to the Texans, I don't think he's going in as the clear number one at the Texans. So maybe the grumbling, the passive-aggressive tweeting, the we'll start right away with the Texans, but I doubt it. I think he'll probably be on good behavior next year, and I think he'll probably – I think he does. I think he elevates the ceiling for that team. I think you have to admit that. And then did they make them – you know, who would you pick? If it's not Kansas City going to the Super Bowl next year from the AFC, you picking the Ravens?
I might pick the Bengals because of the fourth place schedule.
The Bengals.
I want to go back, though, to your point, though, about when he first gets to Buffalo.
Yeah.
When he first gets to Buffalo, he did have an amazing season, but he largely put up similar numbers to what he did the previous year. It's just he had way more targets, but like on a per possession basis, way more.
Right. He had no, he was, he got everything he wanted.
Biggest problem with Diggs right now is when you are not the physical Randy Moss specimen, you know, 6'4", whatever Randy Moss was, runs like a gazelle, can go over the top of everyone. When you're a smaller receiver like Diggs is, and you are so much of your game is predicated on pure speed, quickness, and agility, when you lose a little bit of that, you don't have the other things that you can.
The only thing I disagree with is so much of what his is predicated on is route running. It's not, he's not a blazer. He's not a guy who's who once he loses his fastball, he never has been that. To your point, if he is not the most targeted receiver in Houston, and he may not be, that may produce unhappiness.
I mean, to me, if I'm Houston, this is a no-duh deal.
Right.
Like, in the end, what do they really sacrifice? A second for next year, and you're taking, it's honestly like a...
By the way, it's a good second because it's Minnesota's second.
Right, but the big deal
it's not a big deal for Houston, but no.
And so, to me, like, I think it makes all the sense in the world. I'm just not convinced that this is going to be the best thing for a second-year quarterback.
Right. I think that's one of the potential downsides is that he was on his best behavior in Buffalo because he got a bazillion targets when he first got there. Or is it because when he gets to a new place, he's not the diva that he was?
And ironically, never had more targets than last year at Buffalo.
In terms of the Bills, and Brandon Bean was clear about this too. He said, are we better today than we were yesterday? No. And you cannot make an argument that they're better. Even if Stephon Diggs was not catching as many balls in the last six games, you still had to account for him.
Sure.
You know, like putting Khalil Shakir out there or worse, Mac Hollins, it's not going to create a lot of space. So they're worse. There's no argument but that they're worse. I actually think what the Bills are doing is, well, first of all, it's very clear he asked for a trade.
Yes.
Because I don't think the Bills plan on doing this because they're eating $31 million this year. $31 million of dead cap money this year. They're already eating $28 million because that was his salary, right? So an extra $3 million they have to eat. So $31 million they're eating this year. I don't think they planned to do it. But when Brandon Bean was asked if Stephon Diggs asked for a trade, he said, well, I think I'll just put it this way. Really like his agent. We have good relationship with his agent. We've worked well with his agent. And I expect that, you know, when we have other players who he represents, we'll continue to work well with the agent. Well, that's a non-answer unless the implication is the agent called us and asked us to move him.
Yes.
He asked for a trade.
I took that as Stephon didn't come into my office and say, trade me. The agent said
trade. We worked with the agent.
Let's work
agent
out a deal.
Made it. Agent made it clear he wanted out, and we worked out a deal where we can get him out of here. So I don't think they wanted to do it, and I don't think they think that they are better because of it. They say they're not done, but they don't have much cap space. What it really looks like is it's sort of a gap year. Like Bills walked away from,
unless you get a Puka Nacua,
Leonard Floyd, Mitch Morse, Jordan Poyer, now Stephon Diggs. Yes, but here's the point. Next year, they have freed up, and when Von Miller's gone next year, he'll be bought out next year. They've freed up $36 million. In other words, you're eating the dead cap money this year. 2025, he's off the cap. Oh, I'm not saying they're going to. I still think they're the best team. I still think they're the favorite in the AFC East. I still believe that. But I do think that partly what they did is if you've got Josh Allen as your quarterback, you're looking at the next 5 years or 10 years. You're not looking, it doesn't all have to be this year. And I think, yes, they'll try to get a better receiver. They'll try to add someone in the draft. They may try to add a free agent. But I don't think you can argue they're better.
No, but like, I still think the thing that matters most is Josh Allen. I think Josh Allen matters more than Stephon Diggs.
There's no question. And it was sort of funny. That was the one thing that...
Like, the one thing
Brandon
that
Bean
I...
was asked about the two of them together, and... He said, "Yeah, they've been a great combination." He said, "They really, you know, they've been really, you know, I think they've been really good for each other. Like, you know, Steph, you know, when he got here, he made All Pro. I don't think he ever made All Pro before Josh, and he did not. he had not.
No, there is to me like this situation. While Stephon's a little older, it really does remind me so much of like Odell with Eli. Like, everyone wants to do the whole thing. Odell's best years were with Eli." And that's kind of like the whole thing. Like when people do the Eli Manning thing, it's like, look at every receiver Eli had. His best years were always with Eli Manning.
I guess the bottom line is, I don't think it makes the Bills better. I do think it makes Houston better. But it really, more than anything else, is a reflection of where each of the teams are financially. Houston could go ahead and just absorb his $18 million contract because that's where they are in their trajectory. The Bills in their trajectory are now getting rid of older players, getting rid of some old money, and reloading, trying to reload, for the next chapter. You know, that's how Chris talks about this with the Grizzlies, right? That there will be different recipes around the, you know, it'll look different around the core. Like, you'll be adding and different pieces will, but you got the core. Well, when you have a quarterback, that's the core.
Yeah.
And then you're adding and you're trying to build, you know, Tom Brady. Tom Brady won with a whole bunch of different versions of the Patriots, right?
Yes.
And so that's what you're trying to do. Patrick Mahomes. Now, Josh Allen hasn't proven that he's either Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. We know they can do it without elite receivers. We don't know that Josh Allen can do it.
Yeah, but I think like one of the key things for me is when you think back to the games that Patrick Mahomes has lost head-to-head to, or I'm sorry, Josh Allen's lost head-to-head with Patrick Mahomes. I've never once left the game going,
it's Josh's fault.
Man, Josh really let him down.
No. No, and you look around, like, you know, they are not the only team. Look at the Chargers. They just, you know, they're walking away from elite receivers with big money too, right? You know, like it's...
Well, man, that is a more, like, holistic question for me is, are we starting to see a... It felt like forever, like, we didn't really value receivers. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God, we got to have a number one receiver. Well, now that we're seeing defenses that are playing more conservatively, not allowing big plays, are we going to start to see a lack of, you know, a lack of emphasis on we got to have this pure number one guy?
Yeah. I some of it depends. Like, what is the 49ers, they got two number ones, right? And a number one running back.
Yeah.
But they don't necessarily have a number one quarterback, although he played very well.
Yeah. And also the thing, though, about, like, their receivers is, like, while I absolutely love Debo, I don't know if Ayuk's, like, a true number one. But, like, we did see with Debo, the one thing that gives Debo a little bit of problem, because he's not the world's biggest guy, when you get really physical with him, like, he can't just go over the top and make a big play. Like, that is what we saw the Chiefs did.
It was a fun day. It was a fun day to be talking about the NFL yesterday. We have a busy show today. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Righter Than Right trivia after that. We will return in a moment. Before then, I will tell you that that most people who gamble do it without any problem. Some people even make money. But 5% of the people, that's what the folks at the Gambling Clinic tell me, 5% of the people who gamble struggle. And it takes a financial toll. It takes an emotional toll. Take a toll on the family. If you're out there and you know who you are, or if someone you love is involved in it, you know the struggle. And that's why the Gambling Clinic exists and has since 1999, well before it all popped up, the gambling popped up on our phones. They've helped hundreds of people. They set up 10 to 12 individual appointments with someone who's an expert in gambling addiction. They're not anti-gambling. But they do want to help that 5% that struggle with gambling. It is thegamblingclinic.com, thegamblingclinic.com. Got to take a break. Back in a moment. Jeff Calkins, Show 92.9 FM ESPN.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station. The Gabe Kuhn Show afternoons.
It's Gabe Kuhn from 92.9's Gabe Kuhn Show. And 92.9 FM ESPN is a proud radio partner for the 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club Speaker Series benefiting Le Bonheur Children's Hospital. Starting with Paul Feinbaum, our guest speaker, on April 29th at the Hilton Memphis. Get your tickets now online at 92.9ESPN.com. Or go to MemphisTouchdownClub.com. The 2024 Memphis Touchdown Club Speaker Series for Le Bonheur with 92.9 FM ESPN.
Heart Royal Flush Tour 2024.
Barracuda.
November 14th, FedEx Forum. A journey through the hits and timeless classics. The iconic band returns with special guests. Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening. Tickets on sale Friday at 10 a.m. at heart-music.com. Heart with Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening. Produced by AEG Presents.
Getting your biggest tax refund from Jackson Hewitt can lead to some spirited reactions.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Jackson Hewitt is so sure they'll get you your biggest refund that if they don't, you get your money back plus $100.
Jackson Hewitt, yeah!
Switch to Jackson Hewitt and we'll beat what you paid last year, even if you filed online.
Hewitt, yeah!
Ain't nothing to it. Switch to Jackson Hewitt and pay less for tax prep, guaranteed. Proof of prior year payment required when filing. New clients only at participating locations through April 7th. Terms at jacksonhewitt.com.
Get the one and done you want for your dog's monthly protection. NexGard Plus, a Foxalaner Moxidectin and Pyrantel chewable tablets. Protects against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. All in one delicious, beef-flavored soft chew. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus Chews.
The laundry room. For as long as I can remember, this was the only place to get a good Wi-Fi connection. Until we got Xfinity. Now we have Wi-Fi all over the house. So, you're probably wondering why I'm still hanging out in here, when I could be happily streaming in the attic, basement, or literally any other room. Well, the truth is, it's warm in here. And I like the smell of dryer sheets.
Get out of here, weirdo.
Hey, close the door! You're letting cool air in.
That's wall-to-wall Wi-Fi with Xfinity. Now through April 21st, get started with 300 megabit internet for $35 a month for 12 months with a one-year contract and get free Wi-Fi equipment included for a year. Plus, ask how you can save 40% over T-Mobile in your first year. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY or visit a store today. Requires prepaid plan and auto-pay with stored bank account. Restrictions apply. Taxes and fees extra. Actual speeds vary. Converts Xfinity Connect More Internet against T-Mobile Home Internet at $60 per month. Regular pricing applies after promo period.
Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices. And when you download the Kroger app, you can enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. Plus, you can earn fuel points to save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. So it's easy to save big. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Fuel restrictions apply.
Right now, fresh red or black seedless grapes are on sale for only $1.77 a pound with your card and digital coupon. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
You know that feeling you get when your team goes big? Get that same feeling on Zen Sports. Sign up for a Zen Sports account and receive up to a $1,000 no-danger first wager. That's right. If your first bet loses, you can be reimbursed for the amount of your bet, up to a $1,000 maximum. Zen Sports offers an exclusive VIP program to Tennesseans. Head to zensports.com/VIP to learn more. Zen Sports. Betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. No-danger wager limited to plus 500 odds to qualify. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older. And in Tennessee to bet.
If you've tried to buy a Rolex watch lately, you know how difficult it is. New models are in rare supply. Some jewelers put you on wait lists. Others make you buy their other jewelry at inflated prices just to be considered for a Rolex purchase. Well, that's all changed now that Genesis Diamonds has arrived. Genesis Diamonds is the premier dealer of luxury pre-owned Rolex timepieces. People who come in are shocked to see Daytonas, Hulks, Submariners, Pepsis, Datejusts, all the hard-to-find Rolex watches ready to wear today. At Genesis, we've used our worldwide connections to find only the first luxury pre-owned Rolexes. Immaculate, pristine watches, fairly priced, with no strings attached, and with flexible financing options. So enough with the wait list and the retail jeweler games. Get the Rolex of your dreams today at Genesis Diamonds. And if you already have a Rolex and are interested in trading up, we also have Rolex buyers on site every day. Just another example of how we're forever changing the jewelry landscape here. Genesis Diamonds, official jeweler of the Tennessee Titans at Poplar and Perkins Extended.
Hi, folks. Bob Burkhammer for Sunrise Buick GMC Truck. What a great time to buy a new or used car or truck and save money at Sunrise. The largest selection in over a year, over 500 new Buicks and GMCs to choose from, an $8 million used car inventory. See them all at SunriseMemphis.com. Factory rebates up to $6,000 and Sunrise discounts high as $10,000. Immediate financing available with loans low as 0% on select models. Cars and trucks under $10,000. When it comes to selection and savings, it doesn't get any better than this, partner. Come on in and save some money at Sunrise. Coming to Pike, Wolf Chase, and Collierville.
Hey, Kathy, you know, I've been seeing those State Farm commercials. You guys have built quite a team. Holmes, Kelsey, Derrick Henry.
Bundle my auto and Mahomes. Oh, yeah. Steve, we're proud of that team, and I'm proud of my team.
Your team is awesome. I know firsthand. If there's a question or problem, they're on top of it.
My name is on the sign outside, but it's my talented team inside that makes the difference.
Hey, call Kathy Thurman Edwards, State Farm agent on Brookhaven Circle.
901-767-7744. I'm not as cute as Jake, but I'm better looking than a lizard.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Mom, I got the job in Manhattan.
Do you have a warm enough winter coat? What about your car?
I'm selling it with Kelley Blue Book Instant Cash Offer.
How?
I enter my license plate number, miles, condition, upload photos, and boom, an official cash offer from a local dealership.
A cash offer instantly? Oh, did you call Aunt Stella? She's right there in Massachusetts.
Mom, I literally just got the job.
Not everything is as simple as selling your car with Kelley Blue Book Instant Cash Offer. Price it, fix it, trade it, sell it. KBB.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Well, this is it. This Saturday, April 6th, your last chance to get 60% off at Robert Irwin Jewelers. This time at the Robert Irwin Jewelers on Perkins Extended, right across from Laurelwood and the Novel Bookstore. That's the one that I go to. And as with the two previous weeks, but this time it's at the 60% off everything in the store. 60% off engagement rings, 60% off brand name watches, 60% off designer jewelry, 60% off necklaces. Everything 60% off. It's a six-hour sale, and this is the last of them. A six-hour sale, 60% off at Robert Irwin Jewelers this Saturday at the Robert Irwin Jewelers on Perkins Extended. Go to rijewelers.com for details. All right, Jeffrey, a couple of other things I wanted to wrap up with on the Grizzlies real quick. One is one of our loyal listeners, Bobby, says this. So far, I think it's fair to say this Grizz team is underachieved. Some of that is no fault of their own injuries. Some of that is very much their own fault, all the off-the-court drama. Next year is the most important year for this group, in my opinion, is what he says. And I guess I would push back at the idea that this Grizz team has underachieved. this year is like whatever. Like the dude that with this year, what you will. It was a total disaster, purely because of injuries. I can't say this team underachieved this year. This team was wrecked this year. There's a difference between being wrecked and underachieving. I actually think you can make an argument that they overachieved. Certainly overachieved last night, given what they have endured. So then you look at, if you look at regular season win totals, every year before this year, they beat their regular season win totals.
Yep.
Right? So they clearly haven't underachieved in the regular season. And then if you go to the playoffs, what playoff series should they have won that they did not win?
Last year when they didn't have
Brandon, when they didn't have Steve-O, by the end they didn't have Luke Kennard?
Oh, and then Ja did get banged up.
And Ja was banged up for, and then, or 2 years ago when they didn't have Ja?
Yeah, you can make the argument they did at least enter the Lakers series as the favorite. Now, granted, the Kennard injury happens during the series, and then Ja misses a game. But one of the games that Ja missed, the Grizzlies won.
Yes. Should they have been the favorite? Once Steve-O and Brandon are gone, I don't think losing...
As demoralizing as that series really was...
The way it played out made them look bad, but correct. The result was that losing that series is not underachieving.
No, but you also look at it and, you know, game four in L.A. that goes to overtime and you had a fourth quarter lead in the last minute, like if that game flips, that's probably a different series. Game one, you lose at home. I mean, that is kind of a story to me for the Grizzlies, like in the playoffs, like losing game ones at home. Like, what is that going to be a trend? But I mean, I tend to agree with you.
I just think that losing to LeBron and AD when you don't have Steven Adams or Brandon Clark is, I'm not counting that as underachieving. So have they achieved everything that a fully healthy version of this team we hope it can and will achieve? No, they have not done that. But they haven't been that version of the team, and we're hoping that someday they will. Is next year the most important year? I'd say the next 2 years. This year could have been the most important year, except for what the hell happened to it. And so now next year is the most important year. This year, we went into this year expecting to have Steven Adams as the starting center.
Yeah, I guess I could. Here would be the argument I would make in favor of Bobby. The next 2 years, I do agree with you, are the two most important years,
right?
Because those are the only years that you have for sure,
right?
Jaren, Ja, and Dez locked up under contract. Where I could make the argument that next year is the single most important one is, if next year doesn't go well, does that force Jaren's hand? I don't think it's likely, but you also have to acknowledge that
heading into the next season, does it create a crisis a year early?
Right.
I think it creates a crisis at least at the trade deadline of the next year if you're then not going for it, right?
Right.
But if you end up finishing fourth in the West and losing a 4-5 series in the first round next year, and you go to the NBA Finals 2 years from now, then I'd say 2 years from now is the most important year. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think they got a couple of years to try to figure it out with this group.
No, I mean, the key is you have to give yourself as many swings
as you can. Right. They all proved this. The Golden State's history shows this. Denver's history shows this. Hell, the Celtics, you know, history shows this. The Sixers evidently are going to try to give themselves a swing by, you know, bringing.
I mean, the Bucks in the end, like the.
Right. Bucks.
The making the deal that they made.
It felt like Giannis was out of there at some point.
Yeah.
Then they make the deal they make and they win a title. All right. And then the other Grizzlies news before we move on is that Ja. It was broken. Adrian broke the news, I guess. Woj broke the news that Ja is going to find himself a new agent.
Yeah.
Jim Tanner is no longer going to be his agent. He is going to find a new agent. There's all kinds of rumors out there about who it might be. I've seen people speculating that he was hanging out with Clutch at one point. I think if you don't mention Mike Miller's name in connection, yeah. He lives right here. You know, Mike is a well-known admirer of Ja's gifts.
He was present at the Holloway Incident.
As so many are. And he was present. He was there at the pickup game. Mm-hmm. So I don't really care who his agent is. The only question is, do you read anything ominous into it? Like sometimes people switch agents because they're trying to engineer something.
Yeah.
And I think that is taking it much too far.
I mean,
to read anything ominous into this. I do not.
I think there's a couple of questions before like I would feel strongly one way or the other. Number one, I think the first question is like, who broke up with whom? You know, like it seems likely.
I find it hard to believe that they'd walk away from Ja.
Exactly.
So I think Ja broke up with him.
I do. And honestly, the fact that Adrian broke it and it seemed like it came from the agent side, to me that implied like I'm getting out in front of this. And that's I tend to agree that I think it was Ja's decision. I mean, I would be completely honest, if he signs with Clutch, I'm not exactly
that would make me, oh my god,
this is forever this is and always.
Yeah. No, that might be ominous, but I don't think just the fact that he's found a new agent or looking for a new agent is to me particularly ominous. Okay. Yeah. Will UConn's plane troubles ground their championship hopes? Last night they were supposed to take off at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't take off till 1:30.
Mm-hmm.
I've been there, by the way. Not on a charter. And although it's interesting, I flew on a private plane this summer
mm-hmm.
to Aspen.
Mm-hmm.
And it was supposed to be a, you know, private plane travel is the best. You don't have to go through TSA. You don't have to like.
It's
been described to me as one of the very best things about being super rich.
Yes.
Right. Is private plane travel. Mm-hmm. So I've had a lot of, maybe twice I've been on private planes my whole life. And once was this time. The truth of the matter is, the airport was socked in with clouds or whatever else. We had to land somewhere in, I don't know what state it was in, Colorado somewhere, and mm-hmm. hang out for a while. And just because it's a charter doesn't mean that there can't be hiccups. There were very clearly hiccups for UConn. They didn't get in until something like, till after 3 o'clock Arizona time. So, what do you say?
So, obviously, this is of grave importance to me with my pups. I love this, number one, because
it's a hurdle.
Well, not only that, like Dan Hurley has spent this entire tournament trying to find some sort of villain. And now this time, like, this is the easiest thing. I also think there's a couple of like laugh out loud funny thoughts. The idea that the only thing that can actually stop UConn is the airline industry.
Right.
Like that's a perfect little thing. And then secondly, like the NCAA, like I believe this to be true. I have a friend that works in the booking of travel. They went cheap. And the charter service they used was the charter service that, do you remember when the Patriots had their plane issues?
Yeah.
And everyone's going, how do the Patriots have plane issues? They own their own planes. Well, you have to use this company for like pilots and for maintaining, like for all the service stuff. So you had to use this company. The Patriots are actually suing them.
Weirdly enough, most people don't know this. The same people were in charge of the 3-point line last weekend. Who were in charge of these airlines? Yeah, mm-hmm. They specialize in the long ball and in long flights.
Correct.
And so they just screwed it up.
Well, and it's like the whole idea.
Can't get good help.
The whole idea is like, well, the NCAA, we have to keep it fair. We book the travel. You know who? This probably doesn't happen if UConn books their own travel.
Right. Probably does not. By the way, if you want to go to the men's Final Four, you will pay less than if you want to go to the women's Final Four this year. Now, there is one key distinction.
The amount of seats?
The number of seats, yeah. But still, it is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
The women's Final Four, the get-in price, is considerably higher than the men's Final Four. It is also true that the capacity of the stadium for the men's Final Four is 70,000, whereas Rocket Mortgage Arena, is that what's called? Yep. Rocket Mortgage Arena? Where the women's Final Four will be played has a capacity of 19,432. Also, in the world of college sports, a bunch of executives. And this is both business executives and some college presidents, and have put
and
their
TV executives
put their heads together.
And did I read a Goodell acolyte?
Yeah, some Goodell cronies. Not that's disparaging.
I said so acolyte. Yeah,
acolyte. They said that this is what should happen in college sports. And by the way, this would not be good news for the University of Memphis. You just have to have gotten onto the right side at some point, man. Anyway, you would form a super league, okay? All 70 former power conference teams is how it's described. So I don't know what that does. And that includes, I guess that includes Oregon State and Washington State. Like, what gets you to 70? I don't know. It's got and Notre Dame and SMU.
Yep.
And the power conferences would be in this super league. There would be 7 10-team divisions. Then there would be another division of teams that would have been promoted from the lesser league.
Yep.
Which is what the Tigers would have found themselves in under this format, right? And so there, it's a little bit like European soccer, where you can be
promoted.
Except it's not really.
There's not relegation.
Because there's not
promotion.
Relegation. The Vanderbilt's always going to be in the 70, right? Like, they can stink as much as they stink. And the 8 don't. They don't ever get to be in these 7, 10-team divisions that are the permanent members. It's just the 8th division would rotate.
Right.
And you would have a collective bargaining agreement. You would pay the athletes. You would have these divisions be geographically logical.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd divide up the money. The champions of the playoff would be the champions of these divisions and then some wild card. There would be no eye test. There would be like you win
your division. Yeah.
You win your division or you come second, whatever, like that. And everyone lives happily ever after.
So do I think the final form is going to resemble something like this? I think it's entirely possible. I do not take this seriously because do you see the SEC and the Big Ten?
No, that's why it's never going to happen. First of all, what it does is the SEC and the Big Ten right now lord over everything, right?
Yes.
And in this world, they are no more important than the Big 8 teams or the Big 12 teams or whatever the hell we're calling them.
I mean,
like
part of everything that we're going through right now is the SEC and the Big 10 are already saying, like, We are generating all the money. We're not sharing it with
right.
all
so,
of you.
So we're going to share it with 70
right. so
schools?
So we're going to share more. We're going to share
with 70 schools? No, thank you.
Right.
You're exactly right. The power is held by the SEC, and the power is held by the Big Ten. And
like, I clap my hands. Like,
does this make sense? I mean, I'd like Memphis to be in it, but does it make sense as an organizational structure? Does it make more sense than what we have now? Yes, it absolutely does. But in order to get to there from here, you'd have to have people give up money and power.
Yeah,
that's not my experience that people do that.
Well, my whole deal is, like, when I see the two public faces are West Virginia and Syracuse, first off, any idea that Gordon Gee has, more times than not, I find myself on the other side, historically speaking. But when you also consider, well, the two public faces are Syracuse and West Virginia,
right.
Who is in grave danger in where this is headed? Syracuse and West Virginia. So you come up with a plan that
elevates us. That elevates you and puts you on the same exact platform as Alabama. Right.
Right. And so on a certain level, like, I tip my cap to them, like, at least they're hustling and they're showing some survival instincts, but I just don't take it seriously.
Plus, I think the structure makes more sense than what we have now. But I just don't see any it's purely 100% theoretical. Kent Severud, by the way, who's the president at Syracuse, used to be at Vanderbilt. He was a...
Gordon Gee used to be Vanderbilt.
And he was, yeah, so maybe they know each other that way. He went to law school, Kent Severud. He was a classmate of my brother at Michigan Law School. And
go blue.
So there you go. M, go blue. Does the fact that, you know, we knew most of the details of Ryan Silverfield's contract. Does the fact that the only thing that I think was new that we didn't get into yesterday was the fact that every 9-win season he has tacks an extra year onto the end of the contract. And if he has a 10-win season, at least for one time, only one time this can happen, he gets an extra 2 years on the end of his contract. Does that change the way you think about this deal in any meaningful way?
No, I guess because I told Mark this, the way that I look at it is Memphis is poised to have a massive year. And the way that I look at it is, if he has the massive year, rather than having to sit down and do another deal at the end of next season, they basically said, here's your opportunity. If you have the big year here, we don't even have to do the contract negotiation. Here's your new deal. This is what it looks like. Let's move on. Like, to me, that's just kind of how I looked at it. Rather than having to go through a whole nother negotiation, it's already laid out for you.
Yeah, I think that's right. And here's the truth. If he has a 10-win season, no one's going to resent him getting an extra 2 years.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's just there. Boom. You know it. And here's the other thing. If he has a really spectacular season where you're getting – they're going to renegotiate – they will renegotiate the contract. They're not just going to tack it on. If he has a season where he wins a playoff game and, you know, advances and whatever else, they're not just going to say, well, you got your one extra year tacked on because of the
– Well,
I'll tell you what really outraged me.
Yeah.
Do you see what his cell phone – He gets a cell phone allowance. How much do you think his cell phone allowance is?
A couple $100?
No, $50.
Really?
He got ripped off. Where's Jimmy? Jimmy was asleep on the switch when it came to the cell phone dollars.
Well, in fairness, that's probably the university issue.
I'm just kidding. What do we think? What is an appropriate if your business gives you a cell phone allowance?
Mm-hmm.
What is the correct amount to actually cover the cost of a cell phone?
I don't know. I'm still on the family plan. Like we got one of those family plans at AT&T. AT&T doesn't – we have such a good deal that we're locked into, AT&T wouldn't even offer it to the public.
I lose track. There's so damn many bills that come in now. You know what I mean? There's so many bills that come in that I lose track. I don't even know what I pay in cell phone.
Well, I mean,
but I know this. I know it's more than $50.
Yeah,
I'm 100% certain.
Again, I use this argument. That's the university-issued cell phone.
All right, Chris Harrington coming up next. Then we'll play Writer Then Write Trivia. Before then, I will tell you if you are getting something framed.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.